may be graciously pleased to help us. I would direct your prayerful attention once again to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, the 30th verse. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. This great subject of faith hath many aspects to it. We tried to consider a little this morning in the light of the 6th chapter in the book of Joshua, where we have the historical record of this happening of the walls of Jericho falling down, that exercise of faith that was needed by the Lord's servant Joshua and the people as they walked around the walls of this city for 7 days in succession. And we saw that proceeding from faith, there was the necessity of obedience. The obedience of faith is something that we need to consider in this day and generation. Many may say, I have faith. And dear friends, it's one thing to say that we have faith, it's another thing to show that we have faith. And the way that we show that we have faith is by obedience to the Word of God. And you may remember that we quoted the incidents of Moses in the wilderness and the pattern that was given him for the tabernacle and everything that appertained to the worship of God, that Moses had no license to do what he would do, but only to obey absolutely the word of his God that he had been directed to. And so we have no other pattern but the Holy Scriptures. And in this we have no license to interpret them as we think best. This word is not open to interpretation. It's open to understanding. It's open to enlightenment. But we cannot put our own interpretation on it. Now, faith believes the report that God has given. And faith simply takes God at his word. This is a very simple definition of what faith is. It's taking God at his word. It's believing in, trusting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me just give you an example of this. In the case of the apostles. And you will remember that time when they were fishing in the early days. And they had toiled all night and caught nothing. Now let us just consider. These were experienced fishermen. They knew the best place, they knew the best time, they knew the best circumstances to catch fish. This was what they were engaged in. Day in, day out. They knew the area. And yet, doubtless, they had tried one place and they had tried another place where they considered prudent to go to catch fish. And yet, although they had the experience, although they had the labor, although they had everything reasonably to catch fish, they caught nothing. And you will remember that the Lord Jesus Christ gave them a commandment, a strange commandment on the face of it. He said, cast your nets on the other side. But it was now toward the dawn, not a suitable time for fishing. They were toward the shore, not a suitable place to catch fish. But at the command of Jesus, they let down their nets. And what was the result? So many fish that it broke the nets. Here was blind obedience, if you like. Taking the Lord Jesus Christ, the Master, at his word and proving that he knows best. But if we want an example of obedience, then we must look to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What do we read? That he came to do the will of God. He delighted in that will. We see the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. Not my will be done, but thine. And that obedience was even unto death, the death of the cross. Perfect obedience. Faith then worketh obedience. And we need to come into the experience of David in the 119th Psalm, when he says, oh, how I love thy law. And if we have a love to the law of God, we will show forth an obedience to the ways of God. It's not my will, but thine be done. Faith worketh obedience. And we saw how Joshua, how that the tribes of Israel needed obedience in this strange command that was given unto them. Remember that nothing before like this had ever been known. It was a most strange thing, a most peculiar thing, to encompass the walls of this great city, expecting them to fall down. Let us just remember, this was no mean city. It was a large city. It was a highly defensed city. And houses were built upon the wall. We read of the case of Rahab, that her house was upon the walls of Jericho. So this was something substantial. Not something that was built to fall down. Not something likely to collapse, not something in decay, a preserved, well-built city. But God commanded, and it needed faith to believe what God had said would surely come to pass. God had clearly shown Joshua what he must do, and he had clearly shown him the outcome of his deeds. There may be times in our experience when God grants us, in his great mercy, a revelation of things to come. He may show us how things will fall out eventually, as he did with Abraham when he promised him a child, although Sarah was well past the age of bearing, although by this time Abraham himself was a very old man, yet God had promised. The Apostle Peter puts it like this: great and precious promises, which are only received by faith. But for faith to be proved, there is a walking out of faith. And if we are to walk out faith, we are to be obedient to the mind and to the will of God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, have you ever looked upon this very simple statement? The walls fell down. You see, in the exercise of it, they had to walk around 7 days. And the people were commanded to absolute silence. Only the priests were to sound the horns, those ram's horns. Can you picture the scene? This vast congregation of people walking round this city, to the amazement, doubtless, of those looking on from the walls of the city. And would they have laughed them to scorn? If we look at things by nature, we will laugh them to scorn. What impossibilities these things are. And yet, you see, they had to prove that. Prove that what he had said would most surely come to pass. And as we mentioned this morning, it was not that they should walk round for 6 days. If man had been asked, or if we put it this way, if the commanders of the tribes of the children of Israel have been asked to suggest different ways of besieging and overcoming this city, how many answers would have been given? And who would have thought of this way? My ways are not your ways. Neither are your thoughts my thoughts, saith the Lord. His way is much higher, much richer than mine. His way is right. You see, natural reasoning would have said, well, surely once round the city would do. And yes, in one sense, the Lord is able to accomplish in one day. But there is a trial of faith. To walk round 7 days, to do exactly the same thing, except on the seventh day, they were to walk around 7 times. 7 times. What an exercise, naturally speaking, this must have been for them, to walk round this vast city, a great congregation of people. And then when the signal was given, their silence was to be broken, and they were to all shout. And it was when the people shouted, the children of Israel shouted, the walls of the city fell down. Now, what does this suggest of creature ability? What part or lot did man play in this? Not one iota. You see, this was God's plan, this was God's scheme, whereby he would deliver his people. His purposes were to be fulfilled. His purpose was unfolding every hour. And do we not find that in experience? We have these hard things, these difficult things, and we wonder how we can get over them, how we can get round them. But God makes a way straight through the middle, as he did at the Red Sea, as he did at Jordan, as he did at Jericho. And we are brought to this, to trust in him. To trust in him at all times and to lean not to our own understanding. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now we must seek to understand what these walls of Jericho represent spiritually. And surely we see that they are the walls of the enemy. The enemy were within. We mentioned also this morning that before Israel could ingress that land of Canaan, they must first conquer Jericho. Jericho stood at the bridge, as it were, at the helm of that whole nation. If Israel failed here, they would fail altogether. How vital it was that they should overcome. But they had a wall of opposition set against them. Now, who builds a wall of opposition? Is it not the devil? Is not this the work of Satan? But to build up that which opposes the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if we come to faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be sure that there will be opposition. That which will oppose us at every hand. Great walls. And Satan builds these walls to stop our progress. Take the wall of sin. Is not this opposition to the word and command of the Lord? Now, how is it with us? Do we know ourselves to be sinners? And do we see the impossibility of ceasing from sin? Remember the words of the hymn writer. The more I fought against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. You see, we have no strength in and of ourselves to fight against sin. Sin overwhelms us. Sin is such a high wall, it's high up to heaven. Remember those words in the opening of that sixth chapter in Joshua, and Jericho was straightly shut up. Now sin shuts up. that wall of opposition through which we must break before we can overcome, before we can make further progress. And how is it to be done? Oh, let us learn the lesson of this verse, that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now there is here the obedience of faith, to trust in the blood and righteousness of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can break down that middle wall of partition, who can bring us into his glory. We're thinking here of the land of Canaan, that land which flowed with milk and honey, and yet it had many enemies. The Canaanite dwelt in the land. And do we not find these Canaanites dwelling in our land? And yet they're straitly shut up. Once the work of the Holy Spirit begins, then that wall of opposition is raised up. And it has to be overcome. Now we have no strength in and of ourselves to do anything. But we have a mighty God. A mighty God who is able to overcome all things that we might avail. Now is there one here tonight who feels sin to be such a wall of opposition that they can find no way round it, no way over it, no way into it? Then here is the great lesson. Faith, and through faith, obedience. This is the only way. You see how often we strive in our own power. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she sought many devices, many helps, but not one of them availed her anything until she heard of Jesus. But her wall of opposition was a crowd around him. She must break through that crowd. She must touch the hem of his garment. And faith lays hold upon him. One touch, and she is made whole. And is not this it in the gospel? One touch of Jesus. One touch by faith of the hem of his precious garment. And we shall be made whole. And that sin, that great wall will be overcome. And we will find it in this sense, that it will simply fall down. In the end, we see here that there was no opposition. That the walls simply fell down and Israel prevailed. They had a way made through. They completely destroyed that city. Oh, what a mercy. If we know anything of this, of the power of God unto salvation to all those that believe. Faith then to believe, to overcome that wall of opposition. There are many other walls that we might readily mention. Walls of difficulty of many types. As we mentioned also, faith, though the smallest, must surely be tried. So there is the trial of our faith. And as we see this in the context of the children of Israel entering into the promised land, so it is the experience of the child of God that by faith at last he must enter into heaven. But there are many things which oppose him. Trials, afflictions, sorrows. These are great wars. Wars that have to be overcome. What a trial of faith it is. And remember with dear Job, what trials he came into. And remember here that we are talking of an upright one, a man who feared God and eschewed evil, but it didn't preserve him from being tried. Because that great opposer, Satan, in the presence of God, spoke about this. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. Then read that great catalogue of circumstances which came upon dear Job, those providential trials. What a wall of opposition this was for the faith of this dear man. As I say, it's one thing to say that we have faith. But when our faith is tried, we prove in reality what little faith we have. All those things which came upon him, and yet you see this wall was knocked down because Job believed in God. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Dear Job was preserved from speaking folly, and that wall of opposition was broken down. You see, Satan hadn't finished. He will try one way, and if he can't succeed, he'll try another way. And so again we read of Satan before God, complaining that God had preserved his life, that he had put a hedge round about him. And he said, try this in effect. Give him into my hand, and we will see if his faith will hold. And Satan touched him in his body. And if there are those of you here tonight who have been touched in your body, you'll know what the trial of faith is. If there's one thing which is a great wall of opposition to us, to our faith, that is bodily affliction. We can bear the loss of many things, but when we find the loss of our health, how difficult it is for faith to accept. You see, this wall has to be broken down. I remember a dear deacon who had been healthy till about the age of 50. And then a disease come upon him, a crippling, maiming disease. And I remember speaking to him after that this disease had taken hold for some time. And he said, I thank God that he gave unto me 50 years of healthy life. And should I complain now that the Lord has touched me in my body? You know, it needs great faith to accept what the Lord dispenses unto us, to receive it without murmur and without complaint. Faith, and only faith, can break down this wall. Let him do unto me as seemeth best unto him. Is not this our constant, our continual prayer? Lord, increase my faith. How often did the Lord Jesus Christ say to his own disciples, O ye of little faith? And doesn't this meet our condition? Don't we have to so often cry that we have such little faith, and it seems at any time the enemy will come out from behind those walls, come and destroy us? We mentioned how vulnerable these Israelites were in walking round this city. They had no armory really to defend themselves. They were out in the open, exposed. Nowhere to run to. Their way forward was barred. Their way behind them was hedged up. They could do nothing. They were vulnerable. Now, either faith got them through, or they would be overcome. And the Lord brings us into trials and exercises like this. Either we must have faith to overcome, or else we must be destroyed. Have you known your religion tried in this way? A very solemn exercise for the true child of God, because he knows that in and of himself he has no faith. Faith is the gift of God. Lord, increase my faith. That suggests that there is some faith there to increase. Little faith, but you see that little faith, it will overcome at last. These men of Israel needed faith, they needed obedience. They needed endurance. How easy would it have been to have given up? And have you felt that in your religious experience? Have there come those times when you feel you're ready to give up? That you can't go on anymore? But the way is so difficult, so opposed, so impossible that you can't go on. What must these children of Israel have felt like? Having walked round the walls of Jericho one day, and then the second day, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth. Is there any point? Is there any purpose in continuing? You see, it's to press on despite all the seeming difficulties that are set in our path. It is to endure to the end. Remember, Remember how Paul writes to the church of Galatia, that church that was founded in the gospel of truth. And he complains in his writing to them. He says, ye did run well. In other words, ye did run well, but now. Why have you given up so soon? Why have you turned from the faith? Why have you turned your back upon the truth? And are there not many in this day in which we live that cannot endure, do not endure that trial of faith and give up? Well, for Israel to have given up would have been the end of Israel. Faith carries us through. And is it not our mercy that the Lord renews our faith, builds up our faith, causes us to endure through all the opposition and seeming setbacks in life, until at last we overcome? What a wall of faith, what a wall of opposition death is. The trial of our faith. Many are frightened of death all their days. Death still holds that fear for God's people. And you know, this will prove our faith. And doesn't this bring a great solemnity upon it? That death is the final separation. This will prove the reality of our faith. And doesn't the child of God say, how shall I do in the swellings of Jordan? When the devil suggests your many failings, your many shortcomings, your many errors along the way. Is there one here who can say, I've been faultless? Is there one who can dare to claim perfection? All have come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, not in and of themselves. It's faith to trust in the righteousness of Jesus alone. And when we come to lay down to die, it is the hope of faith. It is that conquering faith. It's that prevailing faith that will carry us through. How many a dear child of God has left behind a sweet and beautiful experience of the last days of their lives. And we see some of the dear saints whose minds have been perhaps taken as to the things of this world, but they know not their friends or relatives, they know not what day of the week, they know nothing sensible about this time state, and yet see the conquering of faith, that overcoming faith that still trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or is it not confirming to our faith to see such ones carried by their God right to the end, and then into heaven itself? Impossible things made possible. Now, there was nothing in these circumstances for Israel to glory in everything. If you read through that sixth chapter of Joshua, read it again and again, and see if there is anything that is satisfying to the flesh. No, Israel had no part nor lot to play in the matter. Logically speaking, the exercise was ridiculous. But the obedience of faith upon the word of God, the walls of Jericho fell down. And this is where we need to come to. It's not looking to self. It's not seeking any glorification of the flesh. It is simply looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Now, do you know anything of this faith? We have in this chapter a great catalogue of the exploits of faith of God's people. The wonderful conquering faith, overcoming trial, affliction, sorrow, and death. Now we must know a little. We don't have the exercise of Abraham. We don't have the exercise of Moses. We don't have the exercise of Joshua or the children of Israel at Jericho. We don't have the exercise of Peter and John, or of Paul, or of Timothy. But we have exercises. And our faith will be exercised and tried. And it is only that faith that overcomes that will bring salvation at last. Now, is not this our prayer? Lord Jesus, give me faith. Give me faith to trust in thee at all times and in all seasons and in all circumstances, and cause that faith to be an enduring faith, that I may persevere even unto the end, and remember the Lord demands obedience. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And it is in the keeping of his commandments that there is great delight. Oh, may the Lord grant us that real, that living, overwhelming, conquering faith, that we, like these dear saints of old, may be found in glory at last. The Lord add his blessing.
Acknowledge the Lord's goodness in the collections last Lord's Day, which amounted to £216.60. God willing, Mr. Jemson is expected to preach on Wednesday evening. Next Lord's Day, Mr. West is expected to preach in the morning, and Mr. Izzard in the evening. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper will, God willing, be observed after the evening service. Let us close the singing hymn number 226. Hundred. 126, June Tottenham 249. Faith is the brightest evidence of things beyond our sight. Breaks through the clouds of flesh and sense and dwells in heavenly light. The 226 hymn.
To cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship of thee this day. Take us now under thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost rest upon and abide with us, now, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen.